Now on to one woman's search for her African birth family. In 1974, Hannah Poole was adopted from an orphanage in Eritrea and raised in England by her adoptive white father. When she was 19, Hannah received a letter from a brother in Africa she never knew she had. That eventually led her to go to Eritrea to track down her surviving blood relatives. Hannah Poole chronicles that journey with humor in the book My Father's Daughter, A Story of Family and Belonging. She joins us now. Hannah, welcome.
Thank you very much.
So you're a beauty journalist living in London, and your life is very cosmopolitan, very British. In some ways, you say that this experience made you feel even more British. But it took you 10 years to decide whether or not to really seek out your biological family. Take me to that process that you had of trying to make that decision.
Well, like you said in the introduction, when I was 19, as far as I knew, I didn't have any family. When my family in the UK adopted me from the orphanage in Eritrea, they were told I had no family. My father was dead, my mother was dead. I was, you know, quite literally an orphan. And so it was only when my father went back to Eritrea in 1993 for the independence celebrations that he visited the orphanage that they got me from. He left a photograph of me there with, there was actually the nun who was in charge of my adoption was still there. She's very sort of old now, but she was still there. And he left a photo of me because he thought it would be a nice thing to do. And several months after he returned, we got a letter from somebody who said he was my brother. And basically it turned out that after my father had left Eritrea, this nun had got in touch with my family. And that's when everything started to unravel.
When you got that letter and then started having phone calls, what did you consider? I guess I'll go back to a point where you talk about the risks of tracing your biological family, and you talk about times when people have been called ungrateful when they sought out their biological roots. Did you think this was dangerous to the integrity of the family that you'd grown up in?
Yeah, I'd lived in fear, really. Although I knew, I thought I knew I had no family, even the idea of going back to Eritrea made me feel somehow as if I was betraying the family that had adopted me. And so when I found out that actually, not only did I have family, we're not just talking, you know, aunties and uncles, it was my father was still alive, my birth father was still alive, and I had brothers and sisters. And so I felt like it was a huge betrayal, really. You have to understand, when you're adopted, there's sort of, I call it the elephant in the room that's there all the time between you and your adoptive family. No matter how much you love them, no matter how grateful you are for everything they've done for you, you still have this sort of, you know, urge often to trace your family. But you also know that that could be the hardest, the most damaging thing that you could do. It's almost like saying, thanks for looking after me, but actually, I'd like to find the people who couldn't be bothered to even keep me.
Hmm. You went there and met your father. You have a very moving moment where you're literally standing in a doorway waiting to open it and to meet this man who you didn't know whether or not you would see because he'd been quite ill. What happened next?
Well, yeah, so I'd been in Eritrea for about 3 days, and then suddenly I was told that my father was here. He'd arrived a few days early. I'd expected to have quite a few days in Eritrea just to sort of get myself used to the place, because this was also my first time in Africa. So I was just expecting to have maybe a week in Eritrea, just getting myself reacclimatizing, really, I guess, to a place that I left when I was a baby. And I'd met with a cousin who was living in Europe, and he was the one that was acting as my guide and also as my translator, because there was a huge language problem as well, in that I didn't speak Tigrinya, which is the language that my family speak. So this man basically knocked on a door and sort of gently pushed me in. And inside, I knew my father was inside. I knew that my sister was there and that I had three brothers. What I didn't know was there were actually a whole load more family were waiting for me in the room. So it took a while. I mean, to be perfectly honest, when I walked into the room, I didn't know who was who. I could barely see. There was a huge rush when I walked into the room, and people came up to me and were sort of crying and hugging and kissing me. And so it was quite a long time before I really sort of came up for air, if you like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you talk about being at a remove in some ways. With your typical humor in this book, you're like, I've felt more emotional watching an episode of EastEnders. Why do you think that was?
I think because after so much expectation, I think I'd probably played this scene in my head so many times, countless times, played it sort of where it had gone very, very badly, played it where I'd had fantasies where, you know, when I got to Eritrea that my father had died before I'd got a chance to meet him. I'd had all these different scenarios. And then suddenly to actually just be there face to face with my father after 30 years was just such a hugely sort of intense emotional experience that almost all I could do was detach from it. And also, the other thing, you mentioned earlier on how I said in the book that I felt incredibly British when I went there. And actually, they were very, very emotional there. And I sort of almost wanted to just hold my hand out and shake them and sort of say thank you very much.
Well, what have you taken away from this experience? Something small, perhaps. I mean, I'm sure that it's changed many things. But, you know, is there something different that you do on a daily basis that you wouldn't have if you hadn't taken this journey to find your family?
Well, I suppose other than finding them, the biggest move I've made is probably that I'm trying to learn Tigrinya. So I'm having weekly lessons. And it's a slow process. there are three of us in the class, but everybody else has got parents who they live with who speak Tigrinya to them on a regular basis. So I'm easily the worst in my class, but I think I'm probably making up for it in enthusiasm. And I have a huge incentive now, which is something that I wouldn't have had before.
Well, it was great talking to you, Hannah. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was journalist Hannah Poole, a feature writer at The Guardian newspaper. Her memoir is called My Father's Daughter, A Story of Family and Belonging. She joins us from the studios at BBC Bush House.